Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what an honor it is to be able to bow down in your name and to be able to hold your word in our hand and to be reminded of your truths. I thank you for the faithfulness of each one here coming every Saturday. And it is just good to get away from the hustle and the bustle of our schedules and the world and the noise and even the noise within our own flesh and so forth, clamoring around here and there. And it is so glorious when we come close to you, and at those moments we think, I never want to be anywhere else. And then 30 seconds later, our minds are way off somewhere else and we're in all kinds of things. But here we are, and would you just quiet us down this morning? Would you prompt us to praise you? Would you prompt us to pray to you? Would you give us ears to hear you speaking to us through your word? In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 108 today, and you may recall, this is a short little psalm, 13 verses, and the first five verses are pretty much exactly word for word, Psalm 57, 8 through 11. And we have here, you might say, why in the world would David repeat himself? He wrote all these psalms, and here he gives us Psalm 8, and it's a repeat of Psalm 57, verses 7 through 11. And then the next seven verses are verses 6 through 12, and that's a pretty much the same exact word for word is Psalm 60, 605-12. And you would say, why would he repeat two psalms in one here, or parts of two psalms in one? And we don't know the ways of God. We do know we need reminding, and when things are said well, you can say them again. But I think the order here is important. The order of these verses in Psalm 57 is prayer first and then praise. Prayer first and then praise. And the way we're going to use it here in Psalm 108 is opposite that. We're going to do the praise first and then prayer. So which is better, praise first or prayer first? Well, we're giving it both ways, so it doesn't seem that there's a preference. It's just that we do praise the Lord and we do pray to the Lord, right? And so if we can keep that in mind this morning and maybe sense the difference between beginning in praise and then praying, and then the other times where we want to begin in prayer and then praise Him. Seems to me a little bit, praising is kind of looking backward and praising Him for what's going to happen in the future, but really looking what He's already done, right? And prayer is usually looking for what's ahead. We're usually looking, pray for something. I mean, we can pray for fruit from yesterday's outreach or whatever, and that's always good, but that's fruit from now on. It's not backward. That's already gone. History is gone, right? So here we have in these first five verses, oh God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Await lute and harp, I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth. That's pretty good praise, isn't it? Could you do better? Could you write a better one? If you do, bring it. We'll sing it next week, okay? I don't think that David wrote this. I think the Spirit wrote through him. So if the Spirit writes through you, bring it. If it's just your own thoughts, probably leave it at home. Because my thoughts, your thoughts are not, if they're from us, are not really all that great, are they? But from him, yes. And then he goes on with the prayer here in 108, that your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand and hear me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem, and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Over Philistia I will triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city of Petra? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not get, and you, O God, who did not go out with our armies? We think of 2 Chronicles there with Jehoshaphat. Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. And then kind of the crowning verse here is a verse of promised victory. Verse 13, through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. So this is assurance of God's victory over enemies. How fearful of you are you today of your enemies? I know some of you are because you even told me about it. But do you really have real concern over the enemies that can put you to death and after that do nothing to you? How about fearing that who holds eternity in his hand? He's the power, and there's nothing under him that he doesn't give, has to give authorization for them to do anything, right? So Satan's a created being. He's very powerful, too powerful for us, but he's a created being. And all the workers of iniquity, for every one of them, there's two good ones out there in terms of angels, right? Because only a third of them fell. So we want to begin today just singing about him reigning, because the true victory is when Jesus shall reign over all the earth, right? And here's another old song, old hymn from Isaac Watt. I love these old guys because they have such richness in their words. So we'll sing two songs today, one from way back by Isaac Watt and another more contemporary one in closing. But let us sing Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun Does His Successive Journeys Run. So let's stand and sing this.
Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom spread from shore to shore, till it shall wax and wane no more. To him shall endless prayer be made, and endless praises from his head. His name might sweep
Let's all shout, amen. 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 All right. We're obedient to the song. All right. Have a seat, if you would, please. Let every creature rise and bring his grateful honors to our King. Angels descend with songs again, and earth repeat the loud. Amen. So that sounded great. Psalm 108, verse 1. O God, my heart is steadfast. Is it really? How steadfast is your heart? Some of the time. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Just think about yesterday or day before or this week. How often were you singing and giving praise to the Lord? How does that stack up with the amount of times you were listening to junk from the world with all the bad news happening? All the political cover-ups and all of the injustice and all. And you said, how can that go on? But you stayed glued to it and you listened to it. Just a thought. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, lute and harp. Of course, that's easy for David to say because he was such a musician. He could play and even design instruments, right? But I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. Are you doing that? You're his. We're his, aren't we? Are we praising him among the peoples? And I will sing praises to you among the nations. Are you doing that? For your mercy is great above the heavens. Is that true in your heart? Your mercy is great. Think of his mercy. Think of his abundant mercy. Not just mercy, but his abundant mercy is great above the heavens and your truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And your truth reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Not just above the earth, but above the heavens. Be exalted, O God, above everything, and your glory above all the earth. That's quite a praise, isn't it? I'm glad David repeated it, or we wouldn't have it again this morning. So look at that this week as you go through the week and just test your praising to him. Because when you said, oh, I should praise him, and you know, I don't know how to do it very well, just read this from your heart. I think it's awesome. Then we go into Psalm 60, verse 5. This isn't necessarily one to repeat after the other because David wrote them all, but here is pretty much a quote of Psalm 60, verse 5 to 12. That your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand and hear me. Good prayer, isn't it? Save and hear. Save and hear, or save and answer. Verse 7, God has spoken in his holiness, I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Now the valley of Succoth is on the east side of the Jordan. Shechem is in the center of Israel. And God is already working in Israel to separate the righteous from the unrighteous. He's measuring out the valley. Then he says, Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the helmet of my head. Those are all tribal names and were given allotments in the land of Israel. Judah as well. Judah, we know from out of Judah what the scepter will come. The Messiah will come out of Judah, out of that tribal line on down through David. Moab is my washpot. Now, it's very interesting. Before David was given the power by the God in ruling the nation of Israel and defeating Moab, Moab was defeating Israel. So this is really, I think, written. We don't know when it was written, but it was probably written before David's conquering of Moab, because it says, Moab is my washpot. If we're praying to make Moab the washpot, I think we recognize historically that they were actually ruling over Israel at that time, at least in that part of Israel. But their history, because God says, you're going to be my washpot. You're going to be down under my feet, in other words. And over, here it is, over Edom, I will cast my shoe. Yes. You don't want to have that prayer over you, do you? God is going to cast his shoe over me? I hope not. Over Edom, I will cast my shoe, and over Philistia. over Philistia or over the Philistines, I will triumph. And of course, during David's time, he conquered them all, didn't he? Because the Lord conquered them through him. And then Petra. Petra was one of the strongest cities in the world for really centuries because of its unique location between the rocky entry and so forth. Who will bring me into the strong city? So that's a good prayer. What strong cities do you have in your life that you need to conquer that you haven't conquered yet? Good prayer. Bring me into the strong city. Who will lead me to Edom? Again, it was the Lord who led him to Edom. Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? Yes. Earlier, defeated by Edom because they had turned their back on the Lord, but now, turning back to him, God delivered them into their hand. Is it not you, O God, who cast us off, and you, O God, who did not go out with your armies? Here was Israel, the same thing we're doing today. We're going out with in Israel with the IDF, with the tanks, with the troops. We're going out in this nation spending billions of dollars on our defense. And I can understand that, but that's all going to fail. I don't care how many tanks you have, how many rockets you have. When God pulls the string, it's all over. Only he is our defense. But if we're not with him, he will not go out with us. And so you see, he's not going out with our country now, is he? Because we keep turning our back on him. And all we have are perplexities and problems beyond solutions in every direction, don't we? And so we try to solve this problem, we try to solve that problem. And as long as we keep turning our back on him, we're not going to solve any of them. He's going to judge us instead, which is coming. And then it's kind of closes out here, give us help from trouble. I think that's always good prayer for us, good help for me, good help for you. Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Isn't that true? So think about that when you ask all your friends to help you. The help of man is useless. I'm not talking about assisting one another and maybe like Barry did, helping Mary Lisa in the door with a card and all. That's wonderful. I'm not talking about that kind of help. I'm talking about deliverance. I'm talking about really relying on man to answer any of your spiritual problems or any of your eternal problems, because man can't. Doctors are wonderful, but they'll never heal anybody, really. They may extend the life a little bit, but they can't even create one cell. And we have, 50,000 cells created, I believe, every 90 seconds. So think of that. Man can't do one, and we have 50,000 created every minute and a half without us even doing anything, right? So who do you thank for that? I'm going to thank my doctor. Oh, yeah, thank that medicine I'm taking. That really is helping. Well, that's good. Yeah, I want the 50,000 cells not to get destroyed by drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stuff. But for the help of man is useless. And then this is the key in verse 13. Through God we will do valiantly. Let's repeat that. Through God we will do valiantly. And then the last phrase, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. For it is he who shall tread down our enemies. We say amen to that?
Amen.
Well, Father, we just thank you for this psalm of praise and then prayer and then the assurance of victory. Yes, we have that living hope through what you have done, and you have promised us that place with you. You have reserved that place in heaven for us. That living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to that inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. And so, Lord, we thank you for that promise. Father, we want to pray this morning. We want to pray for the church. We want to pray for the body of Christ. We know that it will prevail, but we know there's margins of the church which are weak and wobbly. And, Lord, we want to pray for those weak and wobbly ones. And Lord, we want to pray for those that are in the church that aren't even in the church, really. They just go there, but they're not really yours at all. That they would come to salvation, Lord, that they would come to repentance and to surrender to you. and those who would never even set foot near any church because they are so far away from you. We want to pray for the lost as well. So lead us now in this time of prayer by your Spirit, that we would be in one accord as we pray in these moments this morning. In Jesus' name, let's pray. As we come near the end of the hour here, just reminded of a comment made by Darlene from Acts chapter 5 in the early church. Of course, we saw the problem with Sapphira and Ananias, and they were taken out immediately, and great fear came upon the church and great power of the church. But what happened was verse 17, the high priest rises up, all of them, they were filled with indignation at all these things happening. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison and saying, do not teach in the name of Jesus Christ. But listen to this accusation, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Oh, that that might be said of us. You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. They didn't know how true they were in that way. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man, the God of our fathers raised up by Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And now Gamaliel steps in with his advice, telling them, if this is of God, you can't fight it. If it's not of God, then it'll pass away. But we see then in verse 40, we read, and they agreed with him, the council agreed with Gamaliel, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. In verse 41, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. How far away from that position are you and I wonder? But notice the next verse. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So is that a marching order for us or what? We need to keep doing the things of God and move forward sharing the word, right? We need to pray never to give up. We need to walk in the power of the Spirit and not in the power of the flesh. Let's close with this old Maranatha song. It's a very simple song. We'll sing it three times. You know it very well. You're ready to look at the notes. Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are so gentle, so pure, and so kind. You shine like the morning star. Jesus, what a wonder you are. So let's sing this.
You
Father, we thank you for who you are. Just help us to praise your name and to give you all glory and to continue to teach and preach the word to every house. In Jesus' name, amen.